but the Holy Spirit is leading you. So, but you're also alive in a day. We're in the end of days. So this is a special time to be alive. And think about what God is doing in His church is absolutely amazing. You may not see it in a building, but you will see it operating through your life, and you'll see it out there in the streets, because that's where the move of God is. That's where He's moving. He's outside the walls. And so we need to be spiritually alert to anything that might take place. I shared some testimonies recently coming back from South Africa. I shared with, it was actually a street preacher, and he really wanted to know how to move in the gift of prophecy, and he wanted to be able to move in it as he saw the Lord moving through me. And so at the end of my trip, a missionary over there prayed for him. He got it, and he went to a, well, actually was buying a car, and I think the deal went south on him. And so he went to a place called, it was a pub and grub or something like that, and he saw a friend there. And so he went and started talking to his friend, and his friend, he had another friend with him, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him, says, "I've given you a word for that man over there." And so he gave him the word, and the guy broke down in tears and gave his life for the Lord after he gave him a word of knowledge. And after he gave him a word of knowledge, the guy goes, "Who are you?" This isn't a bar. Okay, everyone is seeing this. This is not like an isolated incident. This is everybody seeing it. And they were just like being blown away, because this guy is reading this other guy's mail. And he goes, "Who are you?" He goes, "I'm just a servant of Christ." Leads him to the Lord. He gets saved. And I didn't share this with that. I didn't have to share this with the group. But this happened again like a couple weeks later. He's out on the street again. He's just, like I say, a street minister. And he just... "Is there a Josie in the crowd?" or something like that, calls the name out, and there is. And he has a word of knowledge. And so his ministry's picked up just a little bit on the street, because it's not a normal thing to walk by and have an evangelist call your name out. But in saying that, I'm saying that that the Holy Spirit is here. He will deposit things in you here. It's an impartation. It's not just teaching. Teachings are good, and we need teaching and teachers and stuff like that. But we need our teachers and evangelists and pastors to bring impartation, to bring something fresh from the Holy Spirit through spending time with Him, that it might be imparted into his kids. And so God is equipping you here to do whatever it is that you're doing out there. And so I just want to encourage you that's what's taking place, unknowingly and unknowingly. I know for one thing that I've received so much here, just from the other ministries, and a lot of you have been praying and interceding, and so I've learned a lot since I've been doing this. So I just want to encourage you to continue to pray for this, because this is yours. It's the Lord's meeting, and I'm praying that some pastors will start to come. More of them, because they need to be touched from God too. That's why it's a Thursday night. They can come. They're not doing anything on Thursday night. And they come here, they get some prophetic ministry. And I'll tell you what, it will change their churches. It really, because God really wants to breathe on these churches. You know, Jesus in the book of Revelation critiqued the churches rather severely. There was one church, though, it was the Philadelphia church that he wasn't hard on. In fact, he complimented him. He said that, you know, he saw that they had little power, but he said, "I'm opening a door to you." And the reason why he was opening a door to them, it says in the word, it says, "Because you've learned my teaching of patient endurance." And that's what God is teaching everyone here. If you really look what the Holy Spirit is teaching you on, it's patient endurance. Because the things that you're being tested by and the things you're being taught require endurance and require patience. And when you don't have patience, endurance kicks in. And when you don't have endurance, patience kicks in. But they both work together. But it's a power of the Holy Spirit. It's not the world's patience. It's the power of patience that can only come from the Holy Spirit and endurance. And as it said in the scriptures about the Philadelphia church, because they have learned this, they says, "You will escape, or will keep you from the trials that are coming upon the earth." And so there's a promise and a blessing beyond that. You know, I'm glad that I said that tonight, because I had some endurance and patience that I needed, and I just got it, thank God. Amen. Did anybody else need endurance or patience here? I want to make sure I'm in the right crowd. Amen. Because I think so. But that's what God is doing right now. He's preparing you and me for these divine encounters. And the divine encounters are going to be outside the walls. And the kind of things that are going to occur, it's going to be supernatural in nature, okay? But I want to prepare you, because when you see these things start to happen, I don't want you to think, well, I don't know if I'm equipped. I don't know if it's time for me to preach to these people because this person just got healed because I just happened to obey God and lay hands on them. Because see, with one gift, as I pointed out in the book of Acts, one gift, the gift of tongues, that is, when the day of Pentecost brought 3,000 souls in. And then one gift of healing later on through Peter and else was with him at the time, through that guy that was, paralyzed, 5,000 people came to the Lord. You have to start thinking that way, because when you start thinking that way, now your relationship with the Holy Spirit takes it to a different level, gives it much more meaning, because you are believing for these kinds of things. Because Jesus wanted to send people out into the harvest. He said that there were very few workers, or very few laborers in the harvest. Many are called, but few are chosen. So he's sending you, because I believe that the Lord is bringing people to come to these gatherings, or people that are serious about God. Many of you are. You care. And that's one of the reasons why the anointings are so strong here. You're bringing it. You're spending time with the Lord. You want to do this thing. You're the cream of the crop. And so that's why he comes with such strong demonstrations. But when you spend time with the Holy Spirit, understanding that you are in this last days, and he is training you and me to walk in the Spirit. You know, we talk about that a lot. We say, well, you should walk in the Spirit and this type of thing. But, what do you mean by walk in the Spirit? What do you mean by that? I mean, we can all have ideas, but I'm getting ahead of my message tonight. But he wants us to walk in the Spirit the way he did. We can watch each other, how we each other walk in the Spirit, and we can learn from different things, but when the Holy Spirit wants to show you how the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the head of his church, how he walked in the Spirit, and how he preached the kingdom of heaven, that the kingdom of heaven is to be preached to the ends of the earth. And then the end will come. Well, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is the same kingdom that he ministered, that he preached, with the same demonstration and with the same power. Without the demonstration and without the power, he's not confirming it. Does that make sense? Yep. We've got to get past this place where we're. I'm not saying don't be nice, but let's be real. I don't know about you, but I believe in a powerful God. I believe in the miracles of God. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to manifest himself through us to other people, because he loves us so much. He doesn't want to see anybody go to hell. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. And so this kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, is to be preached through the earth, is going to come through you and through me. And that's why the Holy Spirit has set up divine appointments for you and for me. It says the works prepared before the foundation of the world that we might walk in them. You and I have works. And so you come into discussion with the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I know I've got works you want me to walk in. I just want you to know I'm available. Will you please show me the works that I'm supposed to be involved in this week or today? Will you lead me there? Just start talking to them about it. That's the intimacy you get with the Holy Spirit. You start talking to him like you would to anybody else. You're open. And you can talk about how your shortcomings and this and that, and he'll listen. But he might say, "Are you done yet?" Or you might, like I do, have a good cry before the Lord, and the Lord says, "Are you done yet?" Well, I'm so alone. Yeah, it's just you and the Almighty. We just got to get understanding here. Okay, it's not that the Lord doesn't care about you and me, but he's like, hey, we got some stuff we got to get done here. I know that you're in a body of flesh. I know all your weaknesses. In fact, let me just take you a little. I know what you're going to do 2 days from now, 2 years from now. In fact, let me just say, I wrote out your life. So you just need to allow the Holy Spirit just to encourage you just a little bit and understand he is 100% behind you. And if you ask him where, you know, he'll do things, because, you know, that's his will. His will is to love people through you. His will is that you move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because he is the Holy Spirit. His will is to choose you. His will is to bless you. This is his will. And so when you get in line with that, and you get off the negativity of how, you know, you should be like this or should be like that. I mean, I relate to the Holy Spirit, because being a coach and having athletes speaking negativity to me, I mean, there are two things. I didn't like negativity, and I absolutely, fear was an enemy in my camp. And I had to drive it out many, many times. So you can't really come to the Holy Spirit and say you can be afraid of this and afraid of that. I mean, you can, but you see what I'm saying? I mean, he wants to put you out there. He wants your light to shine. And so he puts you in positions where it can shine. Just like that brother, he's, you know, the car deal went bad. So he's all feeling down, whatever, and I'm just going to go up and get something to eat. And all of a sudden it turned into an evangelistic opportunity. Now, he might not have known that, but he asked for something from the Holy Spirit. God gave it to him, and all of a sudden he heard the Holy Spirit say, I'm giving you a word for that man. See, God's giving you words for people all the time. You're being used, maybe knowingly and maybe unknowingly, all the time. And so you're gonna confront this. You're gonna be put in a situation where that thing comes up in your brain, says, I wonder if I have a word for this person. That means you do. And I'll tell you the same thing I told Anthony. I said, the way you proceed when you have a word for somebody, if you're first starting out, or even if you have started out, doesn't matter, is bless them. Just, hey, can I bless you? I just want to pray a blessing over you. You know, you come up and you just bless. Say, Lord, I just feel like I'm going to bless you. I just want to encourage you, whatever. And as you do that, the Holy Spirit will breathe in you what you are to say to that person. And he might even say that, you know, I've given you a gift of healing for that individual, whatever it might be. It happens all the time. And people want to know how the gifts of Spirit are released. Well, that's how it is released. It's released through blessing somebody, and that's rooted in love. You see, when you're trained by the Holy Spirit in love, that means you've come through a lot of knuckleheads in your life. You've had the most difficult person to possibly love thrown at you. The ultimate enemy, the ultimate personality that rubs you the wrong way has been sent as assignment into your life to train you to love, to bless them. That's why they're there. Because when the Holy Spirit has trained you in love, he releases you to those who he loves. But he can't trust you with that kind of power if you're not going to love people. Now, people can move in the gifts of the Spirit and not have love and things like that, because I've seen that before. But that's not who you are, and that's not, I would want to be in that camp. But I'm just telling you how I've heard it from the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you how I've seen it walked out in my life, is that I know for sure he sent people into my life that were hard to love. You know, just that's, you know, you get that job and they're there at work before you're even there. That personality, that person, you know what I mean, that gets under your skin, that talks about you, and you know they're talking about you. You know, how do you react to that, you know? Do you talk about them to somebody, about somebody else? I mean, you know how it goes in workplace, work scenarios and all that. I mean, I had to learn that the hard way, but you know what? I learned it. But I can tell you, you get to a place where the Holy Spirit so saturates you that he begins to give you his perception to what people are like or how they got to be the way they were. And it helps you love, because when you see the way that God loves people, it's much different than us. He doesn't judge by what he sees with his eyes or ears. He judges the heart. And so that's where the prophetic rivers come out of the body of Christ, right there, because they speak to the potential of somebody's heart. They speak to the heart of issues in people's lives. And when he speaks, when the Holy Spirit speaks through you, he's speaking a rhema word. It's His word. It's not, I mean, you're delivering it, but it's His word. And the word that gets sent, it actually, He watches over the word to perform it. That's called signs following those that believe. Signs should be following you and can follow you. Or maybe you aren't aware that they're following, but they are. You can actually go and have a conversation with a person, and the next day they say, oh, man, I feel so much better after I talked with you. So these signs shall follow those that believe in my name. They shall what? Cast out demons. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, well, all the above. And so that's what you're being prepared for. But the move of God is going to occur outside of the walls. And the power and the anointing, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we shared last week is going to be seen on you. Like Moses. Only it won't fade. You can't stop it. It's going to happen no matter what. Maybe you don't believe it, but it's going to happen anyway. Because Jesus, it says in Isaiah, it says that arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen, what? On you. Shall be seen on you. And kings will come to the brightness of your rising. It's going to happen all over the planet. So nobody's going to go, revival's here. Revival is everywhere. Why? Because He wants to bring as many into the kingdom before His return. It's a great outpouring. In the book of Acts, a sound came. It was the wind. And then a few more pages of the book of Acts. Again, they get filled again, and the ground was shaken. We've got to start to understand that we serve a supernatural God that created the heavens and the earth, and He is going to demonstrate His love and His power through His people. The brightness of His coming is going to be seen within us. It said that day won't overtake us. So when the anointing comes, and some of you maybe have experienced this before, I don't know if anybody has come up to you before and said, oh, you're glowing. This was years ago. This was back, gosh, when Columbia Mall was the thing over off Two Notch. That was the mall. And I was there just demonstrating whirlpools. And I was working for a company and selling these spas. And it was Mormons owned it, you know, and they, I was a problem already. I was a real problem. Because I shared my faith, and I would talk to the owner, and you know, I said, well, that's not in the scripture. And she goes, yeah, it is. I go, okay, bring your Bible, we'll talk about it. She never did, because she never could find it. Anyway, so I'm just out there. People walk by, turn the thing on, and you know, people, you know, and this woman comes up to me. She goes, what is that on you? And I go, what? She goes, what is it? And I go, it's a whirlpool, and I turned it on. She goes, no, what's on you? I said, no, what she was talking about. And finally, I realized, I said, well, you're talking about the Holy Spirit or whatever. I somehow caught on to it. She goes, yeah. And so I shared with her about the Holy Spirit. She says, man, she says, you got a peace. And just started saying all this stuff to me. And it just blew me away. Because I just was not baptized in the Holy Spirit that long. This was in the 80s. I just didn't, you know, I wasn't up to speed with all the stuff. And so she got blessed or whatever, and I talked to her about the Holy Spirit, and next day she comes, my boss is there. She comes up to my boss and goes, where is that holy man? Where is that? They think I'm passing out tracts. They do. They think I'm passing out tracts. And so they called me and talked to me, and I said, no, I wouldn't pass out tracts. That was this lady that came up, and I shared with her about the Holy Spirit, and they go, well, you know, you need to be doing your job, that type of thing, or whatever. And so, all right, well. So anyway, there was this lady that was coming to the shop, and they had a pool back there, and they did a lot of therapy, physical therapy with people. And this one lady, sweet lady, I got to know her and stuff like that. And so I said, you know, we're doing these meetings, you know, we're praying for healing, stuff like that. I said, love for you to come, and we pray for you and stuff like that. She goes, oh yeah, I'd like to do that. That'd be great. And so she goes and tells her daughter, and daughter gets furious and calls my boss up and tells him that I invited her to go to a meeting to pray for her to be healed. And that was the final straw for them. So they call me in and they go, they confront me with this. And I said, yeah, I did say that. And they go, well, we just can't have you doing that here. And you know, we're just going to have to, you know, you turn your keys in or whatever. And I go, and so I'm sitting there, I'm going, what am I going to do here? I said, you know, God just took my mind over, said, thank them for the job. And I said, hey, thank you so much for the job. I really needed it when you gave it to me. And I just kind of blessed them. And that you could see them just come over them and just in guilt. And I gave my key back. And so I walk out the door, and the Holy Spirit goes, just shake the dust from out under your feet. And I go, I didn't know what that meant, you know? And I don't remember. Maybe I did do that. I don't know. So I walked out anyway. So some months went by, and I looked at a paper and found out that their business had closed down. And not only that, they bulldozed it. And you know what they did after that? They built a church over on top of it. True story. You can't write that. You can't make that stuff up. So in saying that, sometimes you're in situations you don't realize that anointing is manifesting itself. And one of the reasons why I'm sharing this with you is I want you to open up the potential of what God wants to do through you. And I've talked to this about before, you know, when you practice the presence of God, and what does that mean? You just walk around knowing that He's inside you, just knowing that you've got the presence. You're a carrier, and you're going to contaminate wherever you're going to go, you know? And when you think, and it's funny because when I think about that, I'm all nice and happy. And I see people and I bless them, and you know how it is. But you're making yourself available. And when you're available, it says in the scripture that God searches to and fro throughout the earth to find out someone's heart who is after Him. And when He finds that, what does He do? It says He strengthens that individual. Now, I would be specific about when He says strengthens it, you think about what the disciples act in the book of Acts after they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They asked for the boldness of the Lord. They knew that the empower, the manifestation, the outpouring, the filling up of the Holy Spirit produced a godly boldness that crossed over all the human lines that we have that keep us from talking to people, that keep us from telling them the truth. And, you know, sometimes we tell the truth to somebody, we're concerned, like, how are they going to feel about that? But when the boldness of God comes, it doesn't really matter, does it? Because you're delivering His word. You know, when you deliver truth for somebody, that means you really love them. Because if you don't love them, you're not going to tell them the truth. You know, sometimes you have to even sacrifice relationships at times just to tell somebody the truth. But they'll come back around over a period of time. Praise the Lord. I just went completely off in another area. So I'm sorry. I didn't even get to read this yet. Lord God has given me the tongue with disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear. I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. Father, we just thank You for whatever You're about to do here, whatever You've already done. Holy Spirit, we just ask You to continue to manifest Yourself whichever way You see fit. We yield to You. Jesus, You're the head of Your church. You are truly the head. And Lord, we just yield to that headship. And we just ask You to show those ministers here tonight, Lord, how to make You the headship in the places they attend. Give them wisdom, Lord, because so many times we claim to think we know this and know that, and we say with our lips that You're the head, but we do another thing in action. So, Lord, I just ask You that You teach us, all of us here, that we would really, truly make You the head of everything in our life. And I thank You, God, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. Now, when we're looking at this tonight, I want you to look at this through the lens of what we were already talking about walking in the Spirit. What does that really look like? And, you know, I was thinking about different scriptures that would demonstrate that. I just came to this because when you're looking at this, you know, you can say, well, that was Jesus doing that. And it was, you're right. He is King of Kings, Lord. He was God in the flesh, right? Was He not? He's God in the flesh, okay? However, he did say over and over again to follow my example in living and if need be in dying also. So he's demonstrating to you and to me how to walk in the Spirit. Now, we know that Jesus had to be anointed. In fact, Messiah means anointed one. So he was anointed. Even though he was God in the flesh, he had to be anointed. Why did he do that? Because he did all things. Well, why did he allow John the Baptist to baptize him? You see what I'm saying? I mean, John said, I have need of you to baptize me. He said, no, permit it, because I must do all things that are right. And so the reason why I'm saying that is I want everybody to understand that even though this is Jesus doing that, the fact that you are born again, the fact that some are born again, some are baptized in the Holy Spirit, some of you need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. We can talk about that after the meeting. But what I'm trying to say is that you are carrying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords inside of you. And so when he shines forth and he manifests himself forth through you, it's him. It's him. And so we need to read these scriptures in the light of the fact that as the church has matured, as the bride is dressed in fine linen, which means she's works of righteousness, that is going to come through his body in this church in these last days, a mature church. It talks about the church that you can actually hasten the coming of the Lord. Now, that seems very strange. I've read that in scripture. It says that, you know, we can hasten the coming of the Lord. Well, how's that happen? And I would submit to you that this is how it happens, that we would walk in the Spirit, that we get to a place where the Holy Spirit is refining us to such a place where we totally yielded to him, but we're allowing ourselves to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And the way that we're conformed to the image of Jesus is by releasing that through us, through our hearts, through our mouth, through our actions. And so when I read this tonight, we read this scripture in Matthew, I would submit to you, this is walking in the Spirit. So, verse 18, while he was saying these things to them, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him and said, this was a synagogue official, came and bowed down before him and said, it just smacks of religion, doesn't it? But this guy, it's amazing to me, and you're going to see a lot of this taking place. There are going to be a lot of people that are going to come into gatherings like this. There is going to be you're not going to be able to keep them out. It's not so much because they want to be part of a church as much as they want to be in the presence of God. The reputation that you will have, or the things in the gatherings like that, the reputation that will be is Jesus is there. Not that a certain minister or ministry, that God is showing up. And so this thing smacks of religion. It says the synagogue official. Have you ever been? I've been an official in a synagogue before, or not in a church, I should say. I was an elder at some point, maybe deacon. I bought toilet paper for a while and did that. That was my job as a deacon. I mean, I was the official of that. I was upset that I was actually called to buy all the toilet paper. So I was in the meeting. I said, you know, I know that this is an important job, but I'm really concerned, what color should I get? I was just being creative. They didn't think that was funny. So, you know, that's what happens when you get religion, you get all stuffed up. So so the synagogue official came down, bowed down before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up, began to follow him, and so did his disciples. And a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will get well. You know, she was saying to herself, this is something that you're going to see a lot of as well. People saying to themselves, if I just go to that meeting, if I could just call that person, that, you know, it's going to be like this. It says in the scripture that dense darkness will cover the people of the earth, but the light's going to come on us. And the best way I can illustrate it is I had a, and I know I've shared this here, I'm sure some of you maybe not heard it, but I was over at Harbison, where before they built the mall and all that stuff, it wasn't there yet. And I was over by Lowe's, wasn't even there yet. But I lived in Well Springs Apartments there, and behind was just solid woods. And I would go back there and I would pray. And so I decide I'm going to go back there, and I'm asking, I said, well, what's going to happen at the end of days? You know, I'm talking to the Holy Spirit, thinking he's going to just, you know, well, I expected to talk to me about it, at least give me some ideas. And I wasn't really getting anything. And so, okay, well, good. It's good talk, and I got to go back. I'm going to go back to the house. Well, I was in the woods. I don't know how deep I was, but it got dark, and I started walking back, and I got confused, and I didn't know which way. And I'm a ex-Boy Scout. I'm a woodsman guy, and I'm like, I'm kind of like lost. And so I started heading, and I started walking, and I started to realize that I'm lost in these woods. And I started kind of laughing to myself a little bit, so I had to get back, so I started to get a little panicky. So I'm going through here, and I stepped in this mud. It wasn't a creek, I don't know what it was, but I went all up there, left my shoe in there. I got my shoe out. I'm going through these sticker bushes, and I mean, I'm in there for a good 30, 40 minutes just trying to figure out where I'm at. Well, you know, you got Harbison Boulevard there, and I'm paralleling it, you know, and I'm actually down where Lowe's is, and I'm heading that way. I'm going through all these woods all the way up to Broad River. So before I get to Broad River, I'm like, at this point, I'm starting to get panicky because I am like, I'm getting beat up, first of all, and all of a sudden I see a light, and I go, good, that's it. So I started getting towards the light. And as I got closer, I heard this big dog start barking. And I'm going, Lord, I'm out here doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I am praying, okay? And I am lost, and I'm beat up. I've got mud on me, and now there's a dog over there, and I got to go that way because there's no other way else to go. And I didn't see the dogs, thank God. I got there, got my bearings, got on Broad River, and I came back and started walking down Harbison Boulevard. And the Lord started talking to me. He goes, this is what's going to be like in the last day. It's going to get dark. And people are going to get panicky. And just like I was, I got hurt and all the things. And instead of they're going to panic, it's, and they're going to try to find the light. And they're going to run towards the light. And he said, even the dogs of hell won't be able to keep him back from the light. And I sat there. I'll never forget that. And, you know, you are the light. Look, nobody's perfect in this place, okay? But you are the light. You're carrying a powerful power inside of you. And the Holy Spirit is teaching you how to release that. And he's strategically positioning you in places, not just to learn, but to help other people out. And when you start releasing that and pumping it out, he who has, more shall be given to him. And so when you pump it out, you get more. When you pump more out, you get more. So there's one baptism of the Holy Spirit, but there's many refillings. And so when the apostles sat there and said, you know, we need boldness because they're telling Peter here to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. So they immediately go to the Holy Spirit, say, you know, they start praying for boldness. They get hit again, and they sit there. She says, fill us with boldness while you stretch out your hand in miracles and signs and wonders. That's what they were telling the Holy Spirit. They knew it wasn't them. They knew it was him, but they knew what they needed in order to release that which was within them. And so, anyway, let's read on here. So this woman kept saying to herself, I just do this, I've just done it, he'll heal me. So she touches the fringe of his cloak, and she's healed. And Jesus, turning, seeing her, said, daughter, take courage, your faith has made you well. At once the woman was made well. Now, in other versions, it talks about this. It says, and this is walking the Spirit. I want to point this out. You guys have heard me say this before. It says that he knew that virtue had left him. So when you're ministering in the Spirit, in Holy Spirit, walking Spirit, you're going to know when virtue leaves you. It's definitely a possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen all the time. I'm saying that it can happen, and this is another thing that you need to know about, okay? Because why? Jesus was aware of that. So he knew some things about that. And it's very, very important that you remember this, because, you know, those are the kinds of things that I think the Holy Spirit really wants to teach us about, is how he flows out from us. And how faith, the person of faith that is around, you know, he could see faith. I know you could see faith. Jesus saw faith. He saw the people by their actions, but he also saw in their hearts. He knew the ground was good. You know, the Bible talks about not throw your pearls before swine. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you the ability to assess the soil. And why is that? Because you're out there looking. Why would he give you that ability if you weren't, you know, if you didn't need it? So in a sense, he always gives you what you need. So if you're on call and you're out there doing it, he's going to give you whatever it is that you need to do that work. That's the cool thing about the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the person's healed. Meanwhile, he's on his way to do something. When Jesus came into the official's house, he saw the flute players and the crowd and the noisy disorder. He said, "Leave, for the girl has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him. I think it's very important to realize that you and I are going to be laughed at. Just pointing that out. Because, you know, have you ever talked to anybody that just thinks you're just crazy? You know, you sat there and said, you know, you believe that a reptile talked to a woman back in the garden and all of this stuff. I mean, you know how they always get back to that, the garden thing? Well, they don't ever study the fact that that word serpent there, what it means and what it is. I mean, I think actually I have to study the Hebrew. It's like the shining one, and you read into it deeper. It talks about a deceptive. So he was a being, wasn't a snake, you know. But anyway, it's just something to study out. I'll have to do that another time, but I have looked at it. So anyway, let's see here. When the crowd had been sent out, he entered and looked and took it by hand, and the girl got up. The news spread throughout all the land. As Jesus went from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to him, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him throughout all the land. You know, he knew they were going to do that, by the way. But I think that was in there for us as well. He wasn't trying to promote himself. He wasn't trying to say, "Hey, you know, I'm so powerful and I'm so great," and that type. He wasn't doing that. He told them not to. A lot of these works out there, don't tell anybody about them. I mean, sometimes you can share them, but sometimes I don't tell anybody about them. I just don't. You know, I may share something in this kind of a setting as an example, but as a rule, I would say don't share these miracles with anybody unless the Holy Spirit tells you to. Because it's one way, when you start going around, you know, in a boastful way, saying God speaks to you and stuff like that, I mean, you know, in a boastful way, that's one way to get God to shut up, I guess. He won't say anything. But I don't think that we should, I think we understand that this is not of us, it's of him, and that we're just doing the job, you know? And I really think that you see a lot of ministries over the years, you see them, they get raised up, they have a lot of things happen, and then they just go right down the tubes because it was all about them. It was not about the Lord. And so when you start seeing miracles being performed around you by the Holy Spirit, you know, it can't get to your head, and you can't go around bragging about it. And you also need to let the people know that, hey, you don't need to go tell a bunch of people about it, okay? The reason why Jesus said that, because they went out and blabbed it, and he could no longer publicly enter a city. I mean, he couldn't. He had to go outside the cities and do a lot of his ministry. As they were going out, a mute, demon-possessed man was brought to him. Yeah, this is a great day. I mean, you know, first of all, he starts out where a guy in the synagogue wants him to pray for his daughter. He gets another person gets healed on the way over there. And then he went on from there, and these two blind men get healed. And now they're going out. As they're going out, a mute, demon-possessed man was brought to him. After a demon was cast out, the mute man spoke, and the crowds were amazed and were saying, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. And the reason being is because no demons were casted out in the Old Testament. You know, that was something that was new. That I said, a new teaching with authority, even the demons obey him. I mean, they were just amazed by everything he was doing. Nothing like this ever happened in Israel. But the Pharisees were saying he cast out demons by the ruler of the demons. And Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching them in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. It's interesting here, verse 36, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them. So, and some of you already realize this, that one of the things that God does to us when he's training us is to view people as he sees them, but also be moved with compassion. And that's where encouragement comes in. That's where speaking the potential of somebody's life comes in. Because, see, compassion moves you in a way to be able to see a need or to see somebody that needs to be strengthened. And that's just how it works. And it's something that is, I call one of the things about the gifts of the Holy Spirit is that it gives you that ability when it's on. It's like you can look around, you can see somebody needs something. You know, you're moved with compassion, and it's a love, and it's him. And he manifests in those environments. And so when you get used to that over a period of time. Now, I will say this, that, you know, when you're thinking about your day, and that day's in your brain, and you got to accomplish A, B, and C, sometimes that compassion thing meters a little bit off. But you actually can do your job and have compassion at the same time. It's like multitask in the spirit. So you get your job done, but at the same time, too, keep that compassion radar on so you can start to feel the hurts in other people. And that's what draws you to them. And that's how it works. So walking in the spirit, I mean, Jesus is demonstrating it right there. These are all the miracles, of course. You know, you've got the fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, all of that stuff, but those are all things that are produced by having a godly life. But to walk in the spirit, I want you to see that because that's this move of God. And that's going to come through you. And I know it's so hard to believe that sometimes, that we could walk out the door and we all could be lit up. You know, I know it's difficult to comprehend, but you believe the Bible. You believe it. You've read it. You know, I mean, Moses came off that mountain and he had to put a veil over his face. And that wasn't even the glory. That was a faded glory. This glory never fades. And God says that his glory will be poured out over all the earth. And as you see it. So these demonstrations are about to take place. And I hope that you can believe this and position yourself in a place where you can be ready for that. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but it says in the Psalms that that God's people will volunteer freely in the day of his power. And that's what's kind of going to be flowing through. Amen. My brother back there, I know I met you just earlier. I forgot your name already. What's your name again? I'm sorry. Scott. I want to give you a word of encouragement. Yeah, Scott, I see the militancy of the church inside of you. And what I mean by that is the militancy is, militancy speaks to me as a man of mission. You know, a mission, objective, you know. I got a mission, objective mind, I'm going to accomplish it, I'm going to do this, A, B, C, and D. And the Lord is illuminating I don't know if he already has, but he's going to stuff you full of evangelistic ideas, outreaches, this one after another, after another, after another. He's empowered you to do something. You're tired, You're weary. You said, I am so fed up with all of this. I'm going to do this. And God has got you in the right place and the right season. He had to show you all this. He had to frustrate the fool out of you, okay? Because he wanted you to see clearly that you're never, ever going to go back to it, okay? And so I see you being faced forward. I see the mission of the church being laid out inside of you. I see very specific evangelistic outreaches. I see teams being formed. Amen. I see maybe hand-picked teams. You know, we need a sorcerer. We need a prophet. We need an evangelist. We need that. We're going to go out. We're going to go here. You know, we're going to go to a football game. We're going to go to this. We're going to that. I mean, whatever it might be, that's you. So God's clearly confirming in your life tonight that you are on the right path, okay? Now, I will say this. There's a restoration I see going around you right now. God's going to restore some things that have been taken from you and stolen from you, actually, but they're going to be returned, okay? Because God has got his hand in that situation. So there's a restoration that is going on. God has dealt with you. You know, the thing is that you've got a repentant heart, too. God deals with you. You get down on your knees and you say, I'm cleansed and I'm forgiven. You guard that heart. You guard that heart in Christ Jesus. And that's a repentant heart. Because the thing about it is, you desire perfection, okay? But you know, the only perfection there is to let him go, amen? But that perfection, that performance orientation, that so much when you were a younger man, you can see how it was instilled inside you, and the Holy Spirit had to weed it out. Says, you never had to perform for me. I love you just the way you are. Amen. And God's going to give you that ability to minister to people who are caught up in that trap, one after another, where they just, you can see, they don't know, they don't understand how to receive the grace of God in their life. And I just want to encourage you. God's giving you, I see you have a prophetic mantle on you. I'm not calling you a prophet necessarily, although you could be, okay? I mean, it's the same, it's a job, okay? But I'm just saying that I see the prophetic mantle on you. And we're specifically the gift of discerning the spirits is going to begin to operate in your ministry. It's going to come in the form of dreams. And the reason I'm saying that is the Holy Spirit wanted to identify what's going on right now. Because you're perceiving them incorrectly. They're discernment, discerning of spirits. And that's going to change your world, man. Because now you go, oh, I'm not trying to get interpretation. And I'm discerning something here. And then God will give you the information that you need, amen? And that's going to carry over into the ministry where you actually will begin to start to see into the realm of the spirit when you're awake. But I can't say for sure when or where that's going to happen. I just see it in my spirit. Amen. Does that mean something to you? Praise the Lord. It was so good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. All that other prophecy. You got any prophecies? He does, but I end up taking them all. Amen. I do. I usually, at the end of the time, I ask, you got any prophecies? You took them all. Amen. God's so good. You're first time here, aren't you? I just met you, and I've already forgotten your name. What's your name again?
Joanne.
Praise God, Joanne. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God's so good. God just has you all covered. He's just got you covered in love right now, and he's comforting you, and he's healing you. I just see him just bringing just his warmth into your life. He loves you so much, okay? And you've been so faithful. Amen. You know, you're the faithful one surrounded by unfaithful. That's how I see it, faithful one surrounded by unfaithful. And but just know this, your witness and your faithfulness is stronger than anybody else's unfaithfulness, amen? It just has the ability to draw them into repentance, amen? And so I just wanna encourage you, you know, the enemy strikes you not because you're weak or anything like that, but because you're strong. And he's trying to get you to perceive yourself in a way that's not strong. That's just the way he does things. He manipulates, you know, and tries, you know, we're to the point, well, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm a believer, but I'm not, you know, but you're strong. He's just so much afraid of you. You know why? Because you will pray and you care. You really do. You really care. And there's one individual I'm seeing in the spirit that's completely lost. And you have put gun on in your knees, and you cried out, and you've asked the Lord, and the Lord heard you the very first time you said it. And he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Amen. It's going to be in his timing, but he's going to do it. So you can rest and you can rejoice in that, because he's drying the tears up tonight. Amen. He's telling you in a personal way. I brought Todd from Cincinnati, Ohio, all the way down here, and I beat him up real good. I mean, in terms of training, to bring that to you tonight. Amen. So that you would know that he loves you that much. Amen. God's so good. I see healings coming through your ministry. Amen. You're able to speak a word of wisdom to a person whose soul is so down. Amen. Time and time again, people that are down are going to come to you, and the word that comes to you is a word of peace and a word of comfort. It's going to strengthen them, and they're going to feel, you know what, it's going to be okay, because she said so. Amen. Because God was in your mouth time and time again. Amen. God is so good. I just want to encourage you. I just see the Holy Spirit all over you. He just wants to love on you. Amen. Amen. Because I, you know, anytime we're in a storm, there's that time when he comes and just we get his comfort. Amen. And I just see you in a storm. But your storm is not the storm of Jonah, and your storm is not the storm of Paul. Your storm is the storm of Jesus. Because when Jesus was in that storm, he was the will of God. And he stood up and he spoke and he stopped it. And I'm telling you, you've got the authority in the name of Jesus Christ to stand into the storm and to stop it. Amen. God is so good. Does that mean something to you? Praise the Lord. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Gwen and Diane, I have missed you guys, and I don't know how many years it's been. Amen. But I'm glad that you're here. Amen. Diane, I just want to give you a word of encouragement. Amen. God is so good. You know, sometimes we pray for things and then we kind of shelf them. And then we kind of go on with our life and say, Lord, you know, and you kind of come back and you remind the Lord and come around again, you remind him again, but then you put it on the shelf because you know he's heard you the first time. And you know that, you know, you're kind of like, well, you know, when, Lord? Because, you know, we've talked about this, you know. I feel like a blessing's about to be released into your life. And it's going to come from an angle that you could never have predicted it. You never could have figured it out, okay? But just know this, as you've been prepared for that blessing, that you've been prepared all these years, you're being prepared for that blessing. So I just want to encourage you. Amen. God is so good. He's got you in his hand and he's given you a direction. He's given you a mission. You know your mission. You know your calling and you're obedient and you will speak. Even when you're down, you'll speak. In fact, you are good at hiding not being down. Amen. You don't show it, okay? And that's just because you figure God can take you and God can work it out. Amen. But God's put good friends around you that you can lean on and you can share some things. Amen. And that'll be very good health for you. Probably just confirming it. Amen. God, so does that mean something to you? Praise the Lord. God's so good. Gwen. Amen. God said, so that prophetess inside of you is about to rise up. God's put you into a place of difficulty, okay, where you are going to confront a difficult situation. Okay, but God's going to give you the ability and the wisdom to be able to solve it. Amen. Daniel was able to solve difficult problems. Amen. He really was. He had that wisdom. Okay, I see the wisdom of Daniel moving on you to be able to resolve this current issue that's confronting you so strongly. Amen. I mean, you think about it. It's taking up your mind. You know what I mean? We have so much space. You know what I mean? It's like my phone. You know, I can't figure out who's taking so many pictures, but was connected to my son's phone, who was taken, and all of a sudden it's all filled up, and I got no more space left. I mean, I didn't know how it was happening. I know how my phone joined with his phone, but I just see this thing just being filled up where it's almost completely filled, and God wants to just clear it. He wants to delete all that stuff. He's going to fix it. Amen? Amen? Just let him do it. Amen? Just don't worry about it anymore, okay? I'm not saying you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying? You just, because you want to resolve it. You're a person that wants to go out and solve something right away. You don't want to linger. You don't like that stuff anyway. But let's figure out what's going on. You're being learning the mission, the teaching of what? Patient endurance. Amen. God's so good. What a blessing. Amen. You need nothing. You're not helping me. I just know there's a couple things. I'm not trying to hold everybody here, but I just have a couple more. I just don't know where yet. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's so good. My sister here, I'm going to give you a word of encouragement. I don't know what it is that you do. I don't know if you, you know, I see you raising up things, you know, children or whatever. I'm not saying you're having more, going to have more children, Sarah or whatever. I'm saying, but I see you raising up things that you have raised up things. You've given wisdom. You've raised up, you know, people have that ministry, you know, where they can raise up ministries, raise up children, raise up people, that type thing. Jesus raised people from the dead. You know, I just see you having a kind of a ministry where you're able to raise people up. You know, they're just down, you know? And I see you raising them up, but then you stick wisdom in them at the same time. You know, it's like, hey, get up here. You know, let me tell you, don't do that again or whatever. I just see a word of wisdom really coming clearly through you in your ministry. And I see that accelerating. Amen. And you know, it's like, you know, I can see in my spirit where you've been knocked down real hard, okay? I can see that real clearly. And I know, and it's hard, okay? But you know what? Why it's trying to neutralize your ministry, and it's not worked, okay? You know you love God. You know you've got a ministry. But right now, I just need some healing, God. Can you just heal me, you know, and just give me a little strength right here? Well, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Amen? He wants the strength. He wants you to walk out. You're going to be much stronger. You came in here. I guarantee that. But I just want to tell you something. He is changing the whole playing field. Yeah, it's like, you know, sometimes when the team's out there and they get all worn out, they bring in the people to kind of refresh the team or the, you know, the replacements or whatever you want to call it. I mean, I just see the whole plane. I see everything just being refreshed around you, you know, where some of the burden is taken off of you. And that's the problem. It's like you can handle it, but I can't handle this much. And that's what the Holy Spirit knows about our lives. He knows what we can take and what we can't take. And you're at the point, man, where you're just ready to just snap. Okay, so is that right? So I just want to encourage you that the pressure is being lifted off. The first thing is that take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, there are things that need to take place that only God can do. And you know that. Okay, so disengage from that. Put that over here. That's the Lord's. Okay, and then systematically put it all over there, knowing that he's going to take care of it, because I didn't know anything about that, right? So that's your guarantee right there. He's telling you he's going to take care of that, okay? But you got to give it to him, okay? If you want it back, you can have it, okay? Okay. but I just give it to him, because he will do it. You will see a change. You will see a change. I'm not going to sit there and prophesy how long it's going to be, but it's not going to be real long. I'd say, you know, a month. So just let it work itself out, okay? And allow that to be judged, amen? God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. My sister back here, I just want to give you an encouragement. I think I'm done after this. I just want to encourage you. You're such a Einstein in the Word. I really see a hunger just being released from the inside to dissect and to know every little detail. You know, you're like a scientist in the Spirit. I just want to encourage you to release that. When the Holy Spirit brings something to you, I want to know what that is. You're going to keep digging and digging and digging until you know what it is. Amen. And it's like, you know, seek the Lord, you know, seek the Lord and you'll find him. You are a seeker. You are a seeker. And I tell you something, that will rub off on people that are around you. You know, when you see somebody really seeking after God and you know, and you see them change, it rubs off on other people around them. And there are people that are you're close to that need to be seeking the Lord, and they're not. They're seeking everything else. They're looking for love in all the wrong places, as that song says, okay? And they need to be seeking God. And your ministry and your enthusiasm, motivation that you have to seek God is going to wear off on other people. So just be encouraged. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand to our feet. Milburn, would you close us in prayer? You got to come up here and speak into the mic, though, so I can hear you.
I got to do that?
Yeah.
All right. Father God, we just thank you for your goodness and mercies that are new every morning. Father, we thank you for your encouragement. And Lord, we thank you that your word says our ways are not your ways. Well, Lord, our heart is to know your ways. And Father, we pray for fresh revelation. We pray for fresh encounters. We pray for your you to open our eyes and our ears so that we hear you with clarity. And Father, we bless each and every